This morning, our theme is peace. Old Testament word for peace is shalom, which means fullness, which means wholeness, which means leaning into God and recognizing that peace is not the absence of adverse circumstances, but the presence of God himself with us. So we want you to experience that peace this morning. Jesus said, I give you a peace that passes all understanding. So invite you to lean into God's presence this morning, lean into his goodness, lean into his care for you as we worship together.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a few days of beautiful sunshine to help us dry out from all the rain, which we very much appreciated, to help crews clear highways, clean up debris, and prepare for the next storms. Thank you, Father, that we can gather here together this morning to worship your holy name and to lift our praises up to you. You are a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you provide for us in our daily lives, our family, our friends, our homes, our jobs, the food on our tables, and our health. Thank you, Father, for this church family, for Pastor Kim, for Steve, for Bob, for Todd, and all the volunteers who keep the mission of this church going. Thank you especially this morning for the new elders and deacons who have committed to serving as leaders of our congregation. We ask that you fill them with wisdom, discernment, integrity, and obedience to you. Father, we know that we often fall short of your expectations for us. Please continue to remind us of your son's words in Matthew 25, our call to feed the hungry and thirsty, to invite strangers into our lives, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick, and to visit those in prison. Help us to obey you by taking care of our brothers and sisters. Father, we have many requests to lift up to you this morning. We grieve with the Mancebos, Stellars, and Eldridges, and we ask that you come alongside these families and comfort those who've recently had to say goodbye to loved ones. We ask for healing for those who are sick and those who are in difficult relationships. Bless our team going to Mexico this next week and keep us all healthy, safe, and committed to your word and your work. Lord, our nation is in a difficult time right now, and I ask that you watch over us and keep us mindful of Jesus' call to us to be the light of the world and to let the light shine before men. Teach us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us and others. Help us to be the best citizens, friends, co-workers, parents, children, and Christians we can be. Now, would you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Listen to the words of Jesus, as related in John, chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And from the 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, this morning, we're back on the fruit of the Spirit, and I'd like to ask Julia to come up and put our fruit of peace on the fruit of the Spirit tree. It happens to be a watermelon. Maybe you had a nice, peaceful summer one season, and you had watermelon. Yeah, there you go. She did a good job. Let's give her a big hand. Thank you, Julia. All right. As I said earlier, when we opened the service, a wonderful statement that I came across recently again is peace is not the absence of trouble or adversity. Peace is the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I haven't sensed much peace in our nation recently. There's a lot of animosity going back and forth over social media and on Twitter, all kinds of things being said. Some have called it an epitaph war, where we're throwing phrases back and forth at each other. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of animosity. We seem to be polarized as a nation right now. I think we need some peace. Amen. Also, I think, too, when we have a lot of death in our congregation, and this past week I've been in a lot of rooms where people have either been sick or dying or have already died, gone to be with the Lord, that always brings anxiety. And I can't tell you how many times I've said Psalm 23 this past week. And every time I say it, it's as if a peace descends on the room. And sometimes people will cry. Sometimes people will just say, thank you so much. And all I've done is said the 23rd Psalm, recited that Psalm over someone or with the family holding hands. And I think there's something very powerful in these words. So what I'd like to do with you this morning as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, peace, is to walk briefly through this psalm with you and share some insights with you about how do we walk in the way of peace, because I think this psalm has some things to teach us about this. Now, the word for peace in Scripture is shalom, which isn't just, oh, I'm feeling okay right now. It's more of a sense of wholeness, fulfillment, oneness, okay? So when we say peace, that's the biblical understanding. It's the whole thing, that in our lives we have a sense of shalom, and it's a part of everything we do. So now most of us don't work with sheep too much here. I don't think there's a shepherd and a flock of sheep anywhere in Silicon Valley. But back in Jesus' day, it was a very common profession, as much as computer programming and engineers are. And so Jesus, in many ways, compared us to sheep over and over again. And it's not exactly a compliment. And that's what I'm going to be talking a little bit about this morning, too. One of the reasons Jesus called people sheep is that, think about it, sheep have no way to defend themselves, do they? They're completely vulnerable. They're open to attack. They need a protector. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So what a relief, folks. We're not just out there, right? Targets for the enemy. We have a protector. We have a shepherd. We have Jesus who says, I will protect you. We belong to a shepherd who is our salvation. So the first principle to walking in peace from Psalm 23 is knowing that I belong to God. I have a caretaker. So let's read the first part of Psalm 23 together. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then the first part of Psalm 23, please, if you would. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's best translated. What does that mean? Well, it's best translated, the Lord is my shepherd. What more could I ask for? What more could I ask for? I have a protector. I belong to someone. Now, the thing about sheep is these sheep are not animals that you can just leave alone and they'll do fine. When we lived in an apartment for a little while, my kids wanted a pet, so I got them a hermit crab because we couldn't have pets in the apartment. And that hermit crab was the best pet ever because you didn't have to do anything, you know. Sprinkle a little water on it once in a while, and it was fine. And it stayed alive all by itself, and the kids could say, hey, we've got a pet. We've got Hermie, the hermit crab. It was a great pet. But sheep are not hermit crabs. They're not self-sufficient. You know, they always seem to have a problem if they aren't carefully monitored. Now, don't forget, Jesus made the comparison between people and sheep, okay? I guess that's how God sees us as well, that we as people need constant oversight and meticulous care. We just can't do it on our own because we'll get in trouble somehow. I had a kid, one of my three kids was like that, you know. If there was a mess, that child would get into it. If there was a toxic substance in the room, that child would find it. If there was a cliff, that child would run towards it, like a lemur. Have you ever raised a kid bent on dying? Well, mine survived, but if there was an issue, that child would get into it. And that's like sheep, always getting into trouble. High, high maintenance sheep are. Reflect a moment. You belong to the shepherd, universal, the God of the universe, right? Knows how many hairs are on your head and for some reason has decided to care for high maintenance people, you and me. And this is the amazing truth, and that's why David writes this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that amazing that he cares for us, high maintenance people? So if the first principle of living a life of shalom, peace, is security in knowing that I belong to God, I have a caretaker. The second principle for walking in peace, shalom, is learning to trust and rest in the shepherd. Let's read this together. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, what do you notice about that part of the psalm? Is it about me doing something? No, it's all about the shepherd making me to lie down in green pastures, right? And leading me beside the still waters. It is the shepherd who does this. Another thing you need to know about sheep is that sheep are a very skittish lot. Running here and running there. Again, Jesus compares us to sheep. We never run around, do we? But it's similar. Sheep can't seem to calm down. They are not only so sheep are defenseless. They're needy, high maintenance, and they rarely lie down. Because they're always looking and they're always worrying and they're always nervous about something. What if? Right? Always looking around. So they will only lie down if they are free from four things. And I get this from Keller's book, Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. So actually, Shepherd wrote this. Sheep must be free from all fear if they're going to lie down. And they must be free from tension or rivalry within the herd. And they must be free from parasites, and they must be free from hunger. Now, we live in an uncertain world, don't we, that creates a lot of fear. That's what I said at the beginning. And we live with rivalry and competition, which creates envy and strife. And every day we deal with all kinds of inconveniences and stressors that annoy us, kind of like parasites, right? And we are part of a hungry world looking for meaning and purpose and deep relationship. And yet the words of this psalm tell us that the shepherd allows us to lie down, be still. Trust me. trust me. Still waters. Still waters. That brings a peaceful image, doesn't it? And it actually also brings an image again of safety. Of safety, because if you think about it, a shepherd would never want to lead his sheep by a rushing stream, because if they leaned over to drink and they fell in, their wool would absorb all that water and they'd be taken away. So it's not just a peaceful scene. We're talking about literally shepherds needed to find still waters for their sheep to keep them safe. So this is an image of safety, of trust, and of rest. The walk of shalom for every Christian. The third principle for walking the walk of shalom peace, as shown to us in Psalm 23, is allowing yourself to be led, or surrender. Let's read this together. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now again, let's talk about the nature of sheep for a minute, to which Jesus compares people. I hate to tell you, but sheep are not that bright. They have a real low IQ. And sheep don't get it, just like some people don't get it. Like the two guys who weren't the brightest. They were talking together, and one guy asked the other guy, which is further away, Florida or the moon? To which the other replied, oh, come on. Can you see Florida? So when it comes to figuring out God's plan, like sheep, we don't have a clue what paths to go on. And sheep themselves are notorious for going on the same paths again and again and again, the same rutted paths. Well, this is what we know. This is what we're familiar with. We're going to just keep going on these paths, even when there's no pasture left. They will keep going on those same paths unless they're led differently. They die saying that famous phrase, well, we've always done it this way, right? And we all know that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? But sheep will do the same thing over and over again. Sheep need a leader as much as we need a leader. And we have to surrender our own way of doing things to the shepherd's way of doing things. In following Jesus, we have to surrender our paths to his paths. And, you know, sometimes that's scary because we don't always know where God is leading. But as we trust the shepherd and we trust that we're being cared for and we trust that the God of the universe is committed to taking care of high maintenance people, we can surrender and follow. And that will lead us to shalom, green pastures, still waters. We can't get there on our own. The fourth principle for walking the walk of peace, shalom, is in learning to walk in the dark. Let's read this part together. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, another less than complimentary thing about sheep is that they're very thin-skinned animals. And that's like us. We're not all that tough against life unpredictabilities, you know? And every shepherd knew in biblical times that valleys, in addition to harboring predators, were also subject to storms and flash floods that would send walls of water down the ravine and the slopes. And if sheep became soaked or chilled in the freezing rain, that exposure could kill them in a very short period of time because they're so vulnerable. They're so thin-skinned. And yet at the same time, valleys were the best way to get to the higher areas where there were pasture lands for the sheep. So they had to go through the valley. They couldn't go up on the sides very often because of the paths being rutted and steep. So they'd have to go through the valley often to get to higher pasture land. And shepherds were willing to risk the darkness of the valley to get their sheep to a better place for the joy of the mountaintop experience that awaited them. Now, you've often heard me say that suffering is the place of transformation, or it can be, if we learn in the valleys to depend on God, and we learn courage and trust in the valleys, and we learn about holding God's hand in the dark when we're in the valleys. One of the most fun exercises I did with youth when I did youth ministry was one where you blindfold someone and they have to allow another person to lead them around a series of obstacles. And it was actually a race, so they were going really fast. And the person who couldn't see anything, who was blindfolded, absolutely had to surrender and trust their leader in the dark. And if they were afraid and they didn't move, they became immobilized and they lost the race. Those were crazy days. That was a lot of fun. But notice one word here in the psalm. The word is through. The word is through. It doesn't say, even though I am stuck in the valley of the shadow, right? Right? It's through. God is leading us through. And there's a promise in that word that when we dare to be led by Jesus in tough times, we will be led out of the darkness eventually. Yes, bad things happen to good people. No, life is not fair. But God is faithful in the dark, and if we follow and trust, he will lead us out. Why does it say, I will not fear, for you are with me? Because dark times are so much more tolerable when we know that we are not alone in them. That is why the most frequent promise of Jesus to us in Scripture is, I am with you. By the way, I'm with you. That's the last thing he says, I'm with you always. I'm with you. A psychologist did a study of how long people could keep their foot submerged in freezing ice water. And he discovered that when there was someone else in the room with them, while they did it, they could keep their foot in a whole lot longer. So I can go through anything, someone told me once, as long as I know I'm not alone going through it, right? And finally, the rod and the staff are comforting because of this. The rod was used to gently touch the back of the sheep to keep them on the path that they started to wander off. It was also used to separate the sheep's wool to see if there were any parasites in it. And the staff had the crook, you know, at the top to reach down and hook a sheep if they were down in a ravine or something. So back then, the rod and the staff were the emergency rescue team, so to speak. And the staff was also used by shepherds to draw sheep close to each other. And often this is how they would walk through the valley together, close to the shepherd, huddling around. And the comfort is this, that even when I feel lost or alone or when I start to get off track, I know that your rod and your staff will be there to keep me close to you and to keep me on track. I know some of you have received some bad news lately. I know some of you are missing a loved one today or worried about a loved one. Or I know some of you are experiencing financial stress. And I know that some of you have very high stress in your jobs. And maybe you're at a time in your life where you need to hold God's hand in the dark and trust that he will lead you through the valley as he pulls you close to himself. Finally, the fifth principle for the walk of peace, shalom, is this: regularly celebrating God's goodness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's read that together. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Something that shepherds would do is before they would take their flock out, they'd go to the highlands and they'd prepare the pasture for them. And if there were holes in the ground, they would fill them up. And they would lift the rocks up off of water sources for them. And they'd make the field smooth. And they'd be sure that there was no danger or anything in that field that could harm the sheep. So that when they did lead the sheep up into that pasture land, it was all prepared ahead of time. There were no dangers. And the sheep could just graze and be happy in the moment, knowing that it had all been prepared for them ahead of time. And I think that's what this refers to. There may be enemies around, but God has gone ahead of us and prepared a place for us to celebrate. And sometimes I'm not so good at celebrating. I'm always thinking about the next thing or what's wrong. But if we're able to celebrate, if we're able to rejoice, that also is part of the walk of shalom. As we rest and trust in God, who is our shepherd and who does lead us, we can be thankful and grateful. And as we practice gratitude, shalom flows from that as well. And finally, this psalm ends with a promise. Let's read it together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's an ironic twist at the end of this psalm. Does anybody see it? All along, you've been following the shepherd, and now goodness and mercy follow me. Following the shepherd, goodness and mercy follow me. And that's because when I follow the shepherd, blessings naturally come after. So many of our beloved folks who have gone to be with the Lord, you know, they've left such a legacy behind them. Wonderful Christian children with whom I get a chance to pray. And often people will say, what a legacy they leave behind them. I've seen this again and again over the past couple months. When we are faithful and we follow the shepherd, surely goodness and mercy follow us behind. So as we follow Jesus, basically what the Lord is doing is walking us home, walking us to heaven, to our true home through this life. Just as his peace is our peace, so his home is our home. So may you practice shalom this week, and may you be assured of the good shepherd who loves you, who's leading you, and who loves you. Amen.
So go out in
peace, and have courage, and hold on to that which is good. Return no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, honor everyone, love and serve the Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you all. Amen.